Hello, I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today, I'm taking you across the big pond to Germany, actually back in time, to life under communism, as presented at the amazing DDR Museum in Berlin. I grew up during the Cold War and knew little of everyday life behind the Iron Curtain. Information was hard to come by, as propaganda dominated the Soviet bloc, and the American press was happy to report of only hard times suffered by Eastern Europeans. Yet life went on. Citizens worked, students were educated, couples married, and families vacationed. Today, with photos, facts, and displays, a wonderful small museum in Berlin, the DDR Museum, chronicles that everyday life under communism to the amazement of its many visitors. On display at the beginning was the most famous consumer product in East Germany. The tiny four-passenger Trabant had a two-stroke, two-cylinder engine and used a plastic called Aeroplast to make the car lighter. It was jokingly referred to as a plastic racer, but could reach 60 miles per hour. The next joke concerned the length of time needed to take delivery of the car. One should order the Trabant when the baby is born so that she will have a car when she leaves for college. In truth, this was not far off, as the average wait was 16 years. Drivers had to travel with their own spare parts, as they were expected to provide those to any auto repair shop. It is ironic that America's cars are just now using plastic in construction, but our purpose is to improve gas mileage, not to cheapen the product. An innovative entrepreneur in Berlin has taken our fascination with this car, collected and painted Trabants, and now rents them to tourists. One pulled up in front of us at the East Side Gallery portion of the remaining Berlin Wall. It was loud and barely held the two Americans inside. With a farmer father, I was particularly interested in the agricultural collectivization and was proud that the East German farmers did not capitulate easily to communal farms. The government tried to entice them to join farm co-ops by providing seeds and modern machines. When that failed, the army was sent in to arrest resisting farmers and secure the transfer. By 1960, collectivization was complete. On our farm in Plainview in that same year, my father was experimenting with growing potatoes, carrots, cabbage, and onions, in addition to the traditional wheat and cotton. His farm was among the many American farms that were so efficient, Russia had to buy wheat from us in 1972. I learned that inside East German homes in 1971, only 8% had telephones and 36% had toilets. I thought this a misprint. 18 years later, in 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell, still only 16% had telephones and 76% had toilets. The government did provide cheap food and prefab housing. An 11-story building could be built in 110 days, but they did not provide coffee. To dull this basic existence, East Germans became the biggest drinkers in the world. In a year, an average person drank 286 bottles of beer and 23 bottles of schnapps, at a time when there were no purity laws for the beer. A typical living room was displayed, and truthfully, it didn't appear so different than the 50s style I grew up with. Because the government chose the style, nothing changed in the next 40 years. At first glance, there appeared to be a healthy number of media outlets, 39 newspapers, 2 TV channels, and 4 radio stations. But the government briefed the editors daily on what could be reported. Music on the radio station and nightclubs had to play 60% bands from East Germany and its socialist neighbors. Discos circumvented this by playing only a fraction of the East German song before playing Western music. The youth listened to rock and roll in churches, even though the Stasi, the state security police, took pictures of them exiting the church. The museum had an interrogation room and listening devices that the Stasi used on their citizens, which visitors to the museum could now try. East Germany also made extensive use of citizens spying on their neighbors, resulting in 250,000 political prisoners over the years. Those were later ransomed to West Germany. Some fun facts we discovered included a mass nudist movement in the country with much skinny dipping, explained as one of the few ways East Germans could freely express themselves. Young children had communal potty breaks at which none could leave until all were finished. Pictures of tanks and soldiers were used to teach math. Women were encouraged to have babies, enticed by free childcare, credit on debt, and generous maternity leave. Travel was limited to the Eastern Bloc countries. Russian was the second language taught. The government decided what clothes were fashionable and could be worn. And there was a frank acknowledgement of steroid use on athletes in the 1970s. Exiting the museum, one stood in front of a large photo of the Berlin Wall. For a brief moment, I held my breath as I waited for the automatic doors to open. We then walked into the booming Berlin of today. What a contrast. And the air never felt so free.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began writing about her journeys in 2008. If you'd like to see photos from Mary's trips, read blog entries, and more, visit MaryClarkTraveler.com. The programming you hear on 88.9 KETR is brought to you in huge part thanks to listener support. Please dig deep and give what you can at KETR.org. Click support this station.